It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Buckle up. It's going to be a busy day. And after the effort to get Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment failed, Speaker Pelosi will now plow forward with voting to impeach President for the second time in 13 months. Watch.
The President's actions demonstrate his absolute inability to discharge the most basic and fundamental powers and duties of his office. Therefore, the President must be removed from office immediately.
And she's named her 9 impeachment managers. The list you see here includes Trump critics like Ted Lieu and Jamie Raskin and Eric Swalwell, who is under pressure to step down because of his ties to a Chinese spy. Swalwell has denied any wrongdoing. Meanwhile, a defiant President Trump visiting the Texas border yesterday says this will only damage the country.
The impeachment hoax is a continuation of the greatest and most vicious witch hunt in the history of our country, and is causing tremendous anger and division and pain, far greater than most people will ever understand, which is very dangerous for the USA, especially at this very tender time.
This is GOP support for the president is cracking. At least 5 Republicans you see here say they will vote to impeach. Most notable among this list, Liz Cheney, the House conference chair, who says the president betrayed his oath to the Constitution. But other Republicans, like newly elected Nancy Mace, feels this is being rushed.
For the same reasons that I voted to certify the Electoral College last week, because of my guiding principle being the Constitution, will be the same guiding principle that I have today. I think it's very important that we don't just take a Zippo lighter to the Constitution and tear everything up.
And in the Senate, Fox has told Majority Leader Mitch McConnell believes President Trump committed impeachable offenses, but he has not decided whether he would actually vote to impeach. McConnell has also indicated a Senate trial so far isn't likely to occur until President Trump has left office.
Okay, Griff Jenkins from Fox and Friends this morning. Sandy Rios with you. So lots is happening right now in our Congress, and I recognize that many of us are just so gut-punched and weary with all of this, that sometimes it's difficult to listen, and it is pretty much, it's not all bad news. There are some signs of, you know, God's hand in places in spite of what's happening and what you're seeing. And of course, the news always reports bad news. They always have. They don't report good news. But I just, as I start this and tell you about things that are happening today, I want you to listen to it from a perspective of what we would say an eternal perspective. You look at it from God's view. It's critical for us. It has incredible implications, but this world is not our home, not eventually. And so don't be in despair. Be concerned and fight back and speak the truth, but don't be in despair, because we are not to be a people without hope. We have living hope, and that means it never ends. It's like living water that Jesus talked to the lady at the well about, the water that never gets stagnant, it never stands still. We have living hope. And Paul said, I don't want you to be as people without hope. We are not without hope. So do not, no matter what I say to you, hear this and lose your hope, because we have hope in a God who loves us so dearly that he gave his only son. And I want to say again, remember, as we across the nation, those of us that are Christians, who love Jesus first, and we did respect and feel that Donald Trump was the right guy because he loves our country, and he was certainly instituting all kinds of moral, wonderful policies that certainly reflect a godly worldview. And so we were happy, and we've supported him. We still support him. I do. But remember that that God had a son who was getting ready to go through something horrible, and asked that if it would be possible that God would deliver him from that. And God said no, because he had something very, something much more profound that would affect the world in mind. And he could not even give to his own son, even though his son's son wanted to be spared from that death on the cross. He didn't do it. And so when you think about all the prayers we prayed and how we begged and fasted and marched and did all the things, prayer marches, did things we'd never done before, and we asked him for deliverance, he said no. He said no. And he said no to his only son who he loved. So I want you to have that perspective, okay? I want to tell you now lots of things that are going on. In the past, this last 2 days in Congress, which, by the way, for the most part is meeting virtually. So they're trying to do all these things virtually, not in person. Isn't that ironic? Listen, with the Soviets, during the time, the 60 years of their oppression but from the communists, just trapped behind the Iron Curtain, loss of complete freedom, speech, everything, children encouraged to tattle against their parents. These are things that I know a lot of you younger listeners don't know as well as some of us who are older, and we lived through that. We saw it in the headlines, and in my case, have traveled and seen, actually tasted what that looks like. It's horrible to lose your freedom. One of the things that the Russians were famous for was their sense of humor. They had the best sense of humor, and I think that that's what we're going to maintain, aren't we? So here's the combination of tragedy and humor that I'm going to share with you today. Last night, House Republicans introduced a resolution to censure Donald Trump. They're all, you know, pretty much never Trumpers, establishment Republicans. We've talked about them for a long time. And let's see, what did the 25th Amendment, that was to say that he's not fit for office. He has to be removed by the cabinet, and they've asked Mike Pence to do that. But Mike Pence sent a letter earlier in the day saying he's not going to do that. He said, I'll put the words in his mouth. These are not his exact words. But he basically said in his statement, part of it, look, I was asked to do something last week that I felt was not my constitutional duty, and I didn't do it. And now you're asking me something to do that I don't feel is appropriate constitutionally, and I'm not going to do it. So that's what he said. And they knew when they presented the 25th Amendment that he would not do that. Nevertheless, they presented it. Fitzpatrick, who was one of them, that's Brian from Pennsylvania. These are Republicans, remember? He said, President Trump's attempts to undermine the outcome of the 2020 election have been unconscionable. The combination of a false information campaign coupled with inflammatory rhetoric led to the devastation that I was a personal witness to on the House floor on January 6th. His actions threaten the integrity of our democracy, Congress, and his own vice president. For months, President Trump has been lying to the American people with false information and giving his supporters false expectation. The election is over. Joe Biden will be sworn in. Anyway, it goes on. So I just want to, this is what they're going to brand in people's minds. This is what they have branded in people's minds. It was interesting to me, Matt Gaetz stood up on the floor last night and kind of, drew a line in the sand. He's one of the, listen, there are some great guys in there fighting. That's one of the reasons that we can't back off. They must have our support. So let's listen to what Matt said on the House floor last night, clip 11.
I join the bipartisan caucus condemning the violence that we saw at our Capitol, but the hypocrisy is just downright disorienting. President Trump called for protests that would be peaceful and patriotic. He got labeled a national security threat. Yet the gentlelady from California can call on her supporters to get physical and in the faces of Republicans, and she gets the chairmanship of the Financial Services Committee. Republican members of Congress utilized a process contemplated in the Constitution to offer an objection, and we were labeled seditionists. Democrat members of Congress raised funds for groups attacking our police, burning our cities, destroying our businesses, establishing autonomous zones. And they were celebrated as justice warriors. Wednesday, they called for unity, democracy, and healing. Now, just days later, seeking power and political advantage, the Democrats have reverted to the mean. They've gone back to their natural state, the party of impeachment, removal, and division.
Yeah, so that's Matt Gaetz. He has not lost his fire, and God bless him. That's what he said, kind of inserting truth, which they hate. It reminds me of the old movies. Some of you won't remember this either, but the old Dracula movies, you know, he's coming at people, and they will scramble to find a cross, and they'll hold the cross up, and then Dracula will just, you know, go to pieces and melt and all these things. And that was that Dracula could not stand the sight of a cross. And I feel like that the Democrats are that way with truth. Truth must be destroyed. Anybody that's speaking the truth must be, you know, killed physically, maybe, but certainly killed, removed, banned, shamed, ridiculed. We can't have truth here now, can we? But let's go on. Vice President Pence has said he will not invoke the 25th Amendment. He wrote an eloquent letter stating such. And so that was kind of just an exercise in futility. But the Republicans establishment, what, six of them, decided they would do that anyway. Now, on impeachment, I want you to have a clear picture of what they are going to be doing tonight. They will impeach him tonight in the House again. And you remember that they did that just, what, February of 2020, just not even a year ago. They impeached him. Remember the reason? He called Ukrainian President Zelensky and asked him to look into Biden's role in trying to get a Ukrainian prosecutor fired because he was investigating Burisma, which his son was, let's just say, nefarious business dealings. And so President Trump asked Zelensky to investigate that. And that's why he was impeached. Of course, you know, we had a video of Joe Biden publicly bragging that he threatened to withhold aid if this prosecutor wasn't fired, using the power of his vice presidency to withhold American aid if they didn't fire the prosecutor. But that was okay. It's still okay. There's nothing wrong with Joe Biden doing that, right? But President Trump, on a phone call, which everyone heard, just asked Zelensky to investigate that, and that was impeachable. So they impeached him. A couple of things I need to speak to. There was a report in the New York Times by Maggie Haberman, who is notorious for spreading false information. She's often used and has been for the last several years here to inject in untruth. But we don't know. I don't doubt a lot of this. I think some of the details may be wrong, but I do not doubt that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is so furious with Donald Trump that he is not going to fight impeachment like he did last time. The source of his fury, according to sources, and this I could have said this myself without the sources. He's furious that he lost the Senate, this control of the Senate in those two Georgia races, and he's blaming President Trump. Now, does that surprise anyone? Because everyone knows that there was no voter fraud, no problem with the machines, nothing to see down there in Georgia. And so they didn't replace anything or change anything before the runoff election. They said they couldn't, of course. It wasn't possible. And I heard Republicans say, oh, we're going to win that. It's going to be a slam dunk. No problem. Those guys are ahead, meaning Perdue and Loeffler. No problem. So it was Donald Trump's fault. It wasn't the fault of Republicans for not allowing a full investigation of what happened in Georgia just to assuage people who were concerned about it. And it wasn't, no, that wasn't the fault. It was Donald Trump's fault that they lost. So Mitch McConnell is furious with him and, you know, not as inclined, according to Maggie Haberman, to fight this impeachment as he might have been. Well, I don't doubt any of that, to tell you the truth. I think it makes perfect sense because as far as I think Mitch McConnell and many of the members of Congress are concerned, Nancy Pelosi, they are so offended that the invasion of the Capitol, which I do not support the invasion of the Capitol, but I want to put this in context, that was so personal to them. It was a threat to them, for heaven's sake. No matter that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Americans have been attacked by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, some of them killed, some of them beaten within an inch of their lives. Well, that didn't disturb them too much, but the threat to them in the Capitol, now that's a bridge too far. Remember Mitch McConnell said, they're trying to destroy our democracy. The people of the government, of the people, by the people, and for the people, thinks democracy is them sitting in those seats in the Capitol, and it is much more than that. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be right back. Lots more to tell you. Stay tuned.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit." but I've been through worse.
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Todd to the number 49596. That's Todd to the number 49596. Laurel County Sheriff John Root is something of a hero around the Commonwealth of Kentucky. The other day, he set fire to his University of Kentucky memorabilia live on social media. You can watch the video on my website, toddstarnes.com. The sheriff was upset because the University of Kentucky basketball team had just taken a knee during the national anthem. The entire team, along with the coaching staff, disrespecting the Star-Spangled Banner and Old Glory. The sheriff called it an outrage and a disgrace, and he's right. The basketball team seemed very proud of themselves. They even celebrated and promoted their behavior on a Twitter post titled, "Together as One." Well, I suspect Sheriff Root speaks for many of us, especially those of us who have family members who serve or currently serve in the military. Let's get real. The basketball team's behavior was disgraceful. A bunch of Kentucky Fried Chickens. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It's done now. We're going to insist on it. If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Already, you have members of your cabinet that have been booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And guess what? We're going to win this battle. And so let's stay the course. Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd, and you push back on them, and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
If the president does go ahead and fire Robert Mueller, we would have people take to the streets. I believe there would be widespread civil unrest because Americans understand that the rule of law is paramount. I think you're going to have protests and marches and rallies and sit-ins. I believe Americans would not stand for the firing of Robert Mueller.
Danger if Donald Trump wakes up angry, watches Fox and Friends, and fires Bob Mueller.
Well, I hope he doesn't do that. It would set off a firestorm. I think it would be, not only on the Hill, but in the streets.
It is time for us as Democrats to be as tough as they are, to be as dedicated as they are, to be as committed as they are. Michelle always says, Michelle Obama, I love her, you know. She and my wife, like, really tight, which always scares me and Barack. But Michelle always says that, you know, when they go low, we go up. No. When they go low, we kick.
All right, so that was a wonderful montage of Democrats in the past who were just fine with violence, just fine with it, just perfectly fine with it. That was Maxine Waters, Representative Ted Lieu. I didn't play all of them because we didn't have time. Nancy Pelosi was one of them also, John Tester. And there are lots of them. It's an article in the Washington Examiner, which we'll put on our Facebook page, assuming you can still get it. It ends with Eric Holder, who was the Attorney General under Barack Obama, as you know, and he says, they go low, we go high. He said, no. If they go low, we kick them. Yeah, so that, you know, I could go on and on. In fact, I will in a second, but I want to tell you that it's what we're seeing now is the FBI, and I'm going to get to a statement that they made just yesterday. A man was arrested in Georgia he was there, Christopher Stanton. He killed himself on Saturday. He was arrested for taking part in the Capitol riot last week. And an Alabama man who parked Molotov cocktail-filled pickup in front of the Capitol was indicted by a grand jury. Now, let me make a distinction here, if I could, so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Anyone who was there to do violence in the Capitol, to harm congressmen, to kill anyone, to shoot, to whatever, who's supposedly a Trump supporter, I am not down with that. I don't want you to think I am. What I am concerned about is people who were at the rally, who are Trump supporters, who are just wanted to go to the Capitol, and I think they thought they would just stand outside and make their voices be heard. And there was just a lot of confusion, which I'm going to get into in just a second, a lot more confusion. Michael Yon, who is not a conservative by a long shot, is a war correspondent. He has spent a ton of time in Hong Kong watching how the protesters there worked. And what he says is Antifa has picked up the methods of the Hong Kong protesters. And he said, here's the thing. The Hong Kong protesters had a righteous cause. And they developed some incredible methods of resisting and also being very aggressive. But he said they never stole, and they didn't, it was just a different breed totally than what Antifa is. But Antifa has picked up their methods and perfected them. And Michael Yon has viewed tons of the video. He was actually there on the Capitol. And his assessment of this is that there is no question that Antifa was there. He saw the markings, he saw the trappings, he saw the methods. He said inciting violence, which is what they do. They are masters at inciting violence. So, but that doesn't mean that some of our people did not get pulled in and didn't, it's like Adam and Eve. I mean, was Adam innocent? No, he wasn't. But I think certainly if a person has Molotov cocktails filled in a pickup truck in front of the Capitol, that is very dangerous and must be prosecuted. But I think I'm afraid that a lot of these people just got pulled in and were really not certainly meaning sedition, which is what they're going to be charged with. One of them, I don't know the story behind him. I could be wrong. Maybe he's not innocent at all, but it's a guy from Arkansas named Richard Barnett. And so he's being charged. Some of this is cut off. And so I'm not exactly sure, but I'm just telling you, regular people, they're searching for them to punish them. And the FBI and the Justice Department made a statement yesterday, and I want you to hear, this is just a minute and 20 seconds of it, but I have a lot of things to say about this. This is in the FBI agent from the Washington field office, and this is what it was like, clip 9.
In 6 days, we have opened over 160 case files, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. The significance of this investigation is not lost on us. This is a 24/7, full bore extensive operation into what happened that day. We cannot do our job without the help of the American people. Since our call for tips, videos, and pictures, we have received more than 100,000 pieces of digital media, which is absolutely fantastic. And we are scouring every one for investigative and intelligence leads. We continue to ask for more. If you have information, contact 1-800-CALL-FBI or submit photos and videos to fbi.gov/US Capitol, and that's Capitol with an O. I want to stress that the FBI has a long memory and a broad reach. Agents and our partners are on the streets investigating leads not only here in the D.C. area, but also across the country through the FBI's 56 field offices. So even, like I've said before, so even if you've left D.C., agents from our local field offices will be knocking on your door if we find out that you were part of the criminal activity at the Capitol.
Okay, well, that's encouraging, isn't it? So you want the FBI to prosecute justice and to find criminals, right? They're doing crimes across state lines. That's what their job is. And there was a time when the FBI spoke that our hearts beat faster and we were proud. And we had trust that they would do the right thing, didn't we? At one point, we did think that. Well, here's the problem. FBI has already made a statement that they see no evidence of Antifa being involved. None whatsoever. No Antifa there. It's just Trump supporters. So I want to read to you a couple. Let me mention this first because this really burns in me. I just can't help but remember all of the tragic things that have happened in our country in the last 4 years and the inaction of the FBI. Oh, I could go on and on. I could go back to Benghazi. I could go back to lots of things. It's just it's horrible, really, the dereliction of duty. And I think of that Las Vegas shooting, where we know, at least we surmise, that a lot of the people at that festival, music festival in the summer of, or the fall of 2017, were Trump supporters, a lot of police, a lot of military, and they were locked in because of the fences and the stage, and they were assassinated, killed, 61 of them. 61 of them died. 867 were injured. And the bullets just flew, and they just were sitting ducks. And do you know, to this day, that was October 2017, the FBI doesn't, they're not sure. They're just not sure what happened there. I don't recall, this kind of investigation with field offices all over the country trying to investigate this. They didn't do it. And someone wrote, this is from Facebook, which I don't usually quote because I don't usually trust it, but I thought this was good because I remember these things and I know they're true. And he says, remember in 2011 when tens of thousands of Democrats surged on the Wisconsin Capitol building in Madison and physically occupied it for more than 2 weeks? And we were told, this is what democracy looks like. Remember they chanted, this is what democracy looks like, as they banged their drum. Remember in 2016 when Obama was president and hundreds of Black Lives Matter blocked interstate highways and violently accosted police, even killing several? And we were told, to assign the actions of one person to an entire movement is dangerous and irresponsible. Remember in 2018 during the Kavanaugh hearings when a mob of Democrats stormed the U.S. Supreme Court building in Washington, pounded their fists in rage on the door? We were told, it's understandable. It's understandable. And that was all about life. Kavanaugh, they thought, was pro-life, and we couldn't have that, could we? Remember this summer's riots in major cities around the country when groups of Democrats marched in the streets, set buildings on fire, looted businesses, assaulted and even killed bystanders and police, and we were told, these are mostly peaceful protests. Remember when Democrats seized several blocks of the Capitol Hill neighborhood in downtown Seattle, declaring it an autonomous zone? Remember the guns and deaths and utter destruction? We were told, it's a block party atmosphere. And do you remember the FBI going in there and arresting and weeding out and finding people from other towns and cities and states who were involved in that? I don't remember that. I don't remember them fanning out across the country to find out who was destroying Portland and Seattle and Minneapolis and St. Louis. I don't remember that. Do you? I remember when a crazed mob gathered after the Republican National Convention. I remember. and attacked Rand Paul, a sitting U.S. senator. And we were told, no justice, no peace. Remember how police were told to stand down. Governors refused to call in the National Guard, and Democrats paid bail for violent protesters who were arrested, and that included Kamala Harris. She helped fundraise to get them out of jail. And we were told this is the only way oppressed people can be heard. And so I don't know who wrote that, but I think he's right. And this is our new reality. There is no justice for us, that's for sure. Those of us who love the country and love the Constitution. And in the mix of it, it's never clean. It's never like a clear demarcation line because some people who support Trump did some really bad things at the Capitol. There's no question about it. The problem is there's no acknowledgement of others infiltrating. None whatsoever. And that's a problem. So the FBI is, you know, boasting about how they have a long memory. They have a long reach. Claire McCaskill. Let me just see. That's a good one to play right now. She made a little speech on the air about, they're calling for unity in the Capitol now. I think some of them are saying that. In fact, Joe Biden is calling for unity, even as he calls Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley Nazis, because he did do that. We would stop and play the clip if we could, but we can't right now. So Claire McCaskill kind of added her little two cents, and let's listen. She's the former senator from Missouri. Clip five.
The evidence was not there. It was rumors. It was internet conspiracies. It was edited videotape. It was people trying to make a buck. It was anything but massive fraud. And until Republicans can do that, until they can reject the big lie, they can't even open their mouths about unity. Shut up about unity.
Yeah, shut up about unity. Okay, Claire, thank you. That's very unifying to hear you say that. I have a lot more things to tell you and a lot more things to play. Don't forget, you guys, you're going to hold this break. And so one thing I want to play for you, because it's related in a way, not to the impeachment, but to how the left is responding to this and their unifying desire to unify. That's a joke. This is the one of the executives at PBS. And remember, PBS, you pay for that, and I do too. It's a publicly, the government pays for a huge part of it, and then they do donations also. This is one of the attorneys, I think it's the chief attorney, lead attorney for PBS, and Project Veritas went undercover and got some information from him, and it's interesting what he says. Let's listen to it. Clip 10.
Anyone buying rings? Well, for a lot of Republican voters and Homeland Security, with their children.
So pull that back a little bit, Devin, and I'm going to read what he's saying. He's saying, even if Biden wins, we go for all the Republican voters and Homeland Security will take their children away. What do you think? And we'll put them into re-education camps. In these times, which are unique, I mean, Trump is close to Hitler. Go to the White House and throw Molotov cocktails. Kids who are growing up knowing nothing but Trump for 4 years, you've got to wonder what they're going to be like. They'll be raising a generation of intolerant, horrible people, horrible kids. Enlightenment camps, they're nice. They have Sesame Street characters in the classrooms and they watch PBS all day. Americans are so blanking dumb. You know, most people are dumb. It's good to live in a place where people are educated and know stuff. Can you imagine if you lived in one of those other towns or states where everybody's just stupid? What's great is that COVID is spiking in all these red states right now, so that's great. Because either those people won't come out to vote for Trump, you know, the red states, or a lot of them are sick and dying. PBS has, like, real news. But CNN doesn't have real news anymore. It's just talking heads talking about Trump all day long. I can't stand it. I mean, every once in a while I'll look at Fox and it makes me want to throw up. After 5 minutes, it's all this Joe Biden's blank now. Joe Biden, you know, I can't stand it. It's all made up. It's all ridiculous. And they're pushing it so hard. It's unbelievable. So that is, what's his name? It's Michael, Michael... Yeah, Michael Beller, who is the lead attorney for PBS public broadcasting, suggesting that we put all the Trump supporters' kids in re-education camps, take them away from their parents. And he also said we should go to the White House and throw Molotov cocktails. That's PBS. That is a key person in the center of the functioning of PBS. But of course, they're really very upset with the violence at the Capitol. Now, again, we are all upset by the violence at the Capitol. It's just that the Democrats are not so concerned about the other violence. In fact, they want more violence. It's just that they want it on their terms. And so I just have to make that clear. I want to share with you another article. This is, I believe it's in the National Pulse or the National Journal. I'm not sure because that's been cut off. But this is an interesting piece. And I want to mention at least the point that they make. They say the incitement timeline, the allegations of incitement by President Trump and then the response of the crowd is debunked. And they claim that in the ex-Capitol police chief's interview with the Washington Post, in tracking what he said, this doesn't make sense that Trump supporters were the ones that led the charge on this. And I'll read this to you. The Washington Post has reported that the outgoing Capitol police chief, Steve Sund, believes his efforts to secure the premises were undermined by a lack of concern from House and Senate security officials who answered directly to Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. It's the National Pulse. The National Pulse can also report the Washington Post timeline proves it was impossible for Trump speech attendees to have made it to the Capitol in time for the breach. He's saying the initial breach. It's not that Trump supporters couldn't have gone over there and gone in. We've seen videos of the guards opening the gates for some of them. We see all kinds of friendly interactions, and we see trouble. We see all kinds of different views, and we're not quite sure what to believe. So he's basically saying, I can't go into all of this in detail, but he's talking about the fact that President Trump's speech didn't conclude until 1:11 p.m., and there's at least a 45-minute walk between the two locations. And, of course, it's a crowd. It's a big crowd. And that would put the first people from Trump's speech, at the ones that listened, at the Capitol no earlier than 1:56 p.m., which is a full hour and 16 minutes after the troublemakers arrived. Okay, so think about that. Now, they're saying that President Trump incited the riot with his words at that speech at the ending, which we played yesterday, and I'm not going to stop to do that because of the time. But he did not incite a riot. That's just not true. And so at the end of his speech, it would have taken 45 minutes to walk. So they would have arrived at just before 2 o'clock. But the first incursion into the Capitol was at 1:11. Now, I told you yesterday that I saw from reports that Antifa brought in, they bussed people in. They had at least a bus. We saw a video of sort of an opening inside the Capitol where someone was passing weapons. Meaning, I don't mean guns. I don't know if it was guns, but we saw like long sticks, and people were taking those weapons. Now you could say, well, that's ridiculous. That's so far fetched. But did we not see that on the city streets all summer, where Antifa had all these weapons supplied to them? We saw them taking these shields off of a truck, like a U-Haul truck, and handing it to people. And as I told you, the one perpetrator that I saw breaking a glass, which is, I believe, the same time that a female, 36 years old, a former Air Force intelligence officer, was shot by Capitol Police. I believe that's exactly where she was, trying to get into that window. I believe. That's based on what I saw in different. So I'm just trying to put this in context. So it goes on to say, in 1:09, still before the president had finished speaking, Sun, that's the guy who's resigned now, called the sergeant-at-arms of the House. He's begged them for help. He said in the Washington Post article, he begged them for help six different times. And in fact, there's a quotation in the Washington Post article. John Falchichoe, chief of staff for D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, admitted in the article, literally, this guy is on the phone, I mean, crying out for help. It's burned in my memories. But they would not send in the guard. Now, what are we to think of that? We are to think there's a lot more to this story, and I wish we could trust the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that once great group that my husband spent 30 years defending the nation in that organization. We wish that we could trust them to do what's right, but I'm not sure. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Long time ago, I was at Michigan State, and I'd gone through a presentation, and I knew there was a militant atheist in the audience. the Q&A started, I knew he was going to have to say something. So I said, are there any questions? He shot his hand up. I said, yes, sir. He said, if there is a good God, why doesn't he stop all the evil in the world? I said, sir, maybe because if he did, he might start with you and me, because we do evil every day.
Cross-examine, Saturday mornings at 9 Central on American Family Radio.
A prayer. Lord God, thank you for using American Family Radio to share your truth and love in this increasingly tumultuous time. Please don't let our love grow cold as we see wickedness increasing. Help us stand firm for you, even to the end. Help us to preach the gospel of your kingdom to the whole world as a testimony. Help us to make the most of this platform you have given us to promote your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Genesis 3 records for us the cataclysmic rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden. The entire episode, Eve's entertainment of the sensual lies of the talking snake, the deceptive twisting of God's word, all of it transpired with Adam standing right there. Adam was the one to whom God entrusted his word originally. Adam was the one God charged with cultivating and protecting the garden and his wife. Yet he stood there, silent. Men, let us not repeat Adam's sin of present absence. Stand on God's word and defend your gardens.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The best analysis by far of the Trump crisis has been written by a sports writer, Jason Whitlock. He says the media and swamp creatures in both parties are making a tragic mistake by ignoring the desires, concerns, and feelings of 74 million Trump voters. He says you cannot write them off as Nazis and answer all their complaints with allegations of racism or sexism. That, he says, is fascism. But, he writes, Trump supporters will not go away quietly or peacefully. It's their country, too. Their concerns are legitimate. Theirs is the cry of the working class who believe big tech billionaires are building an America that cuts them out of the American dream. And Whitlock concludes, the price of ignoring their cries will be war, civil war. May his wise counsel be embraced before it's too late.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Our 70th Secretary of State is arguably the best in our nation's history. Certainly few, if any, can match Mike Pompeo's brilliance, his clarity about America's vital role in the world, and his courage in countering the dangers we face internationally. Consider two examples of such leadership just this week. Yesterday, Mr. Pompeo teamed up with a former American hostage in Iran to reject any reversion to a policy of appeasement towards Tehran's mullahs. Thanks to the Iranian regime's strategic alliance with Al-Qaeda, doing otherwise would effectively strengthen not just one, but two of our most dangerous enemies. The day before, Secretary Pompeo gave some tough love about American exceptionalism to people charged with promoting it to the world, employees of the Voice of America. That mission has been neglected for too long and must be made a priority for Team Biden. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. You know, I really am not watching Fox hardly at all, but yesterday morning when I got off the air, I was trying to make sure that I have all the latest information on what's happening on Capitol Hill, so I had it on, and I noticed what struck me, it was muted, and I saw the face of Kristi Noem, the governor of Nebraska, or South Dakota, and Sean Duffy, the former congressman from Wisconsin, and his wife, Rachel Campos, who is sometimes fills in as a commentator on Fox. She's great. But the thing that struck me was the joy on their faces. They just, I don't know what they were talking about, but they just looked joy-filled. So I had to unmute and back up because I thought, well, I could use some happy news. And Rachel had a baby on her lap. And so basically, Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, has decided she's pushing legislation to stop the aborting of Down syndrome children. And Sean and Rachel had just this, the baby looked to be about maybe 8 months old, maybe six, eight, 9 months old. They had a new little girl who has Down syndrome. And they were talking about what a blessing she had already been to their lives. What a joy. And the importance and the sacredness of human life. And the thing that struck me was just how it transcended all of the stuff we're talking about. There was such a beauty in their faces. And I know where it comes from, and you do too. It's from God himself, the author of life, that lifts us from the junk that we are dealing with and living with and will be for a while. But that's that moment of peace, that place, a quiet rest. And so let me just say that there are lots of things still happening on the issue of life. And we're going to have a lot of problems. As soon as Joe Biden is inaugurated, the wheels are going to come off the bus and the sanctity of human life. But I know people who are working through the night in various agencies of the government right now to try to ensure that there are protections, lots of protections for babies in the womb and all kinds of things for mothers, trying to make it as difficult as possible, honestly, for the left to come in and certainly not reverse everything quickly. So I wanted to tell you that. And also the Supreme Court yesterday upheld one of President Trump's rules, which is was to save babies from abortions that had to do with giving abortion drugs to women in prison. Somehow they'd made the case that you could do that without a doctor's approval or any kind of supervision because of COVID, you see, because of COVID. So the Supreme Court, it went all the way up to them, and they said in a ruling 6-3, that they can't, you can't do that. And so the drug cannot be given now to the women in prison without any kind of supervision or any kind of medical checks. So that's just one initiative that's happened, and that's got to be at least bring a smile to our faces on some level. Well, Preborn is still doing what they've been doing, and they're not going to stop. They are an organization that helps Christian pregnancy centers minister to women who are in crisis with their pregnancy. And we're going to talk with the president of Preborn in just a second. But before I introduce him, if you are interested in helping them, $28 would provide one woman seeking an abortion with a free ultrasound. And as I told you yesterday, ultrasound is the game changer in all of this. It has been for probably a decade now. Maybe I've lost track, but because women now for the first time can actually see their babies. And when they see them, they do not want to change their life. They can see that they're real babies. They're not a blob of tissue. So it's made a tremendous difference. That's what Preborn is in the business of providing. And they need your help. It's $28 just for one. You can call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online at AFR.net. And with that, I want to introduce Dan Stein. He's the president of Preborn. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, Dan, good morning.
Sandy, great to be on your program.
I'm getting an echo, you guys. So what's different this year, Dan? Because there's a lot of trouble in the world. A lot of things have changed. Has anything changed for you guys? The mission the same? Anything different?
Well, the good news is, because of Sandy Rios and many other AFR listeners, we have seen over 31,000, talk about good news in the midst of all of the not so good news on the political scene. Together, we have saved over 31,000 babies' lives
wow.
in 2020. Wow. So that's the best news.
That is good
certainly.
News.
That's good news.
That's good news.
You know, abortion is still legal in all 50 states, and although there are small victories like the one you mentioned just a moment ago about not giving women drugs without a physician's consent, which is, by the way, Planned Parenthood and the technological genocidists such as the Bill Gates Foundation's goal by 2023 in writing to be able to do that without a physician's visit globally on the internet. That's a great precedent that was set. So we're really encouraged by that. But whether politics works, whether we have the most pro-death administration or not after January 20th, doesn't stop the fact that when a young woman sees her baby inside of herself, hears her baby's heartbeat, sees that it's not a mass of cells, but it's a little person moving around, The love that God has ignited in her heart for her baby comes alive, and she chooses life over 80% of the time. And so that's what we've been doing together, and it's saved tens of thousands of babies. So I'm just really thankful for your help here, Sandy, and the help of your listeners.
Dan, tell us about how did you come to the $28 fee, and exactly how does that does the ultrasound? The ultrasounds are very expensive, aren't they? The equipment.
So the machine itself is like $15,000 on up. You can get them for $50,000, and the $28 that you can underwrite an ultrasound really pays the cost of the ultrasonographer or the nurse, registered diagnostic medical sonographer, to provide 45 minutes worth of ultrasound session. You're paying for the medical session to show the girl her baby, giving her that first picture of her baby with that $28. Now, there might be those that can do five of them for $140 or could actually underwrite the machine. We have a couple dozen centers actually in the pipeline needing machines across the country. Put in, let's see, 43 machines, I think, last year. We want to do 55 machines this year. So when they call that 877-616-2396, you can, you know, choose your level of engagement here. But the good news is, Sandy, that if you give $28 for an ultrasound, $28 goes to our clinics. We don't keep any of it. We underwrite our administrative expenses independent of this preborn child sponsorship underwriting this ultrasound. So we really are thankful for the hundreds and hundreds of people that have already done it, as we're trying here on American Family Radio to underwrite 3,000 of these scans yet this week.
Oh, sorry. So I inhaled too quickly. And so let me just repeat that number, because some of you, you know, if you've been thinking about other things, I've been talking about other things, but this is important. And I actually think there's an urgency. I think there's going to be a real assault against ministries like this, personally. And so the time to save as many babies as possible is probably now. The phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to afr.net, afr.net, and give your best donation online. Dan, what is the state now of Christian pregnancy centers around the country? How would you describe their strength, their size? What is in place right now?
Great question, Sandy. So there are about 2,800 pregnancy clinics around the United States. It goes into very small towns with yet 2,800 in only 50 states. They're not well-funded. We fund over 64 centers in the highest abortion cities of America. They're pretty much hand-to-mouth, whether they're a large center or a small center. There's no excess revenue, which is why if an ultrasound machine breaks or they're opening a new location, they need help. And so that's one of the reasons we ask for funding of machines. But by and large, it's been a difficult year. Pregnancies, unplanned pregnancies are up because of sheltering in.
Yes.
But we're there.
Yes, Dan, there's the music. And so that gives us a good idea of the good and the bad, the hard stuff and the good stuff. And so if you want to help, it's 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or donate online at afr.net. Dan Steiner, God bless you and preborn. And this is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.